And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned. But those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the crisis, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The word of the Lord. It's always risky to pick a single verse out of a paragraph of Scripture, but if you're going to do it, John 3:16 is a pretty good verse. Now, football evangelists paint the verse on large posters and put them up in the end zone during football games, which has given it the title, the end zone verse. And the hope is that during a touchdown or extra point, someone will look beyond the cheerleaders to see that verse, look it up, and then be instantly converted. And if you think about it, that's kind of a superficial approach to evangelism. There's no conversation, no getting to know one another, no dealing with the implicit resistance all of us bear. But I would never deny the Holy Spirit an opportunity. And John 3:16 is an excellent verse. Not only is it a pretty good summary of the entire Gospel of John, it points beyond itself to the whole stretch of God's saving story for all humanity. God has a mission for this planet and its people. And the mission is to offer the gift of life, which is so much more than respiration and brain activity. It is the life of eternity. That's the sense of that phrase, Zoe Aenon, which literally means life of eternity. God sends Jesus to earth as a mission, and the life we share in him is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which is now given as a gift for all people. The gift is given, but like every gift, it must be received. And the best way to receive the gift is simply by trusting it, by holding it in your heart and your mind as the ultimate truth that the triune God wants all people to remain in the abundance of this eternal fellowship. Which suggests that not only do we live in the presence of the Trinity when we die, we live on through Christ and with Christ forevermore. This life begins in the moment we trust the gift to be true. And from that moment on, the life goes on forever. According to John, this is why God sends Jesus to the earth, to that rebellious entity that John will call over and over again the world. John 3:16 is a summary of what God wants to tell us through John about the gospel. It's glorious, it's generous, it's something we dare not make smaller or reduce to a me and Jesus relationship. John says, everyone who believes, the promise is for the whole world. And he's summarizing the whole story of Christ, the whole event, not singling out a particular moment of it. That's important to remember, because to hear some well-intentioned Christians try to summarize the summary, they declare that John 3:16 is only about the cross. So wait a second. When we said that verse three or four times together, did you hear a mention of cross? It's not there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. The verse doesn't mention the cross at all. It talks about life, not death. It talks about the whole mission of God, not merely a single event on a Friday afternoon. And to hear John tell the story of Jesus, it has always been about life. All things come into being through him. What has come into being in him was life, and this life was the light of all people. This was his work from the beginning, says John, from the very beginning. In this gospel, Jesus shows up to give life to the living, to the confused Pharisee, to the outcast woman of a different race who draws water at noon, to the crippled man unable to climb into the miracle pool. Jesus cuts through the fog of religiosity and declares that God is alive. And this abundant gift of life is so effusive that he also gives it to those threatened by death. First to the royal official's son who is dying of a fever, and then most dramatically to his beloved disciple Lazarus, who's already in the tomb. This is what it looks like when heaven invades the earth. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. But to listen to John tell it, the problem is that the world God loves does not love God in return. He came to his own, says the gospel, and they would not receive him. They shrugged him off. They pushed him away. And the people who purported to love God most, namely the religious people, here we are, had become obsessed with rules and regulations. The ceremonies they held that once were so full of power and transcendence had lost all their electrical juice. So they started saying things like, Jesus, you can't heal someone on the wrong day of the week. Or, give us a sign on demand to prove that you are from God. While he was giving one sign after another. Or, in all their clarity, they say, surely we see, don't we? When it's clear they haven't been perceiving a single thing. So maybe you never noticed until I read the passage that John 3:16 goes on for a while. In verse 17, we hear God is not interested in condemning the world. Please hold that one too. The mission is to give life, to save life, to connect our time-bound mortal lives to the life of eternity. But then comes the big crisis, says John. Light comes into the darkness. There's good news, and that creates a problem. Light comes, and the darkness says, turn out the lights. Because if the lights come on, we will see what the darkness has been hiding. Fred Craddock says the human situation is kind of like this. Before Jesus arrives, it's like you're hanging out in a darkened room with no windows. Since the lights are out, you don't see that the floor is covered with cockroaches. Well, once in a while, you might hear a crunch when you take a step. But you try to get that out of your mind. And occasionally, one might crawl up your leg, but you can't see it, so you shake it off. And then when the lights come on, you see quite clearly what you have been living with. And now it has to be addressed. The light has come. Like the family who must confront a terribly smothered secret that everyone has been trying forcefully to cover up. It's painful. Nobody wants to mention it. Everybody avoids it. And then the secret gets out, and suddenly everybody is afraid because now they're going to have to deal with what they've worked so hard to keep at bay. Light comes into darkness. That's the crisis. Jesus calls it crisis. Even though his mission is to bring the whole world into the light and life of God. So, that brings us back to the cross. We hear God loves the world, we believe that. That God sends Jesus to bring life into the world, and that the world resists this love and life. And in the deep magic of the gospel, the death of Jesus becomes the way for us to get life. This is the paradox at the heart of all things, a mystery that will take a while to trust and settle in, so much so, I'll talk about it some more next week. When Jesus speaks of the cross in his gospel, he uses a very strange phrase to push through the paradox. He puts a phrase on the lips of Jesus, "When I am lifted up," four times, excuse me, four times in this gospel, Jesus speaks of being lifted up. And in case we miss what he's talking about, in chapter 12 he says, this is to refer to the kind of death Jesus would die. He'll be lifted up on a cross. And to tie that together, we step back a couple of verses to verses 14 and 15. And that's where the gospel writer refers to that really strange story from the Hebrew archives. The one that I think only Phil is worthy to tell. It's a story from the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers, an obscure and out-of-the-way tale. And no one would probably have ever thought about it again, except that John says this is a way of understanding the cross. So the old story goes like this. Moses is leading the people through 40 years in the desert, and the people grumble. The journey's taken longer than they wanted. It's stop and go and stop some more. They have limited resources, the food is lousy, all they have is sand for their sandwiches. So they grumble, and they complain, and they bicker, and they blame, and it gets ugly. It gets really ugly. Suddenly some poisonous snakes appear, and they start to bite. Well, that seemed inevitable in a way. There was poison in the air, so along come the poisonous snakes. Moses says, God, what should I do? And God gives some strange, almost Canaanian advice. Make a bronze snake, put it on a pole, raise it up high, and when people look at the symbol of their poison, the poison will be lifted away. So John refers to the story here in chapter 3 and pauses as if to say, you get it? No, not really. So he makes it very clear. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have the life of eternity. This is his view of the power of what happens on the cross. The poison of an angry, rebellious world is what puts Jesus on the cross. And when he is lifted up, God takes the poison from those who are looking at the one who is lifted up. John the Baptist told us in the first chapter, this is the way it will be. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The sin is taken away. It's forgiven away, released and dismissed away. As long as we let go of it, and as long as we lift our eyes to Jesus. In the briefest of words, this is how the death of Jesus opens us to the life of eternity. And think of what the life of God's eternity must be like. There are no more grudges, no more grievances, no more grabbing, no more mutually inflicted pain. In a nutshell, no more sin, just the glory of God forever. And we can live in that now. If we let go of the poison and look up to Jesus. Let me see that sign again, guys. Once again, the end zone verse is lifted up. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. The whole gospel in that verse. God sends light into darkness. God sends life into a world preoccupied with his own death. And when his Son is lifted up on a cross to die, once again God offers light and life and the opportunity to begin anew. To let go of the destructive impulses. To trust there is light. For the eternal life of God is for us and for all. All we have to do is trust that. Let go of the poison. Look up to Jesus. Thanks be to God.